I'd like to go to my scripture reading. 1 Timothy 6, and let's start at the 11th verse. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is a blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each one that you've called to be here at your house of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed holy Sabbath that you've given us to assemble ourselves together and to follow after that example that you set in the creation week of resting that seventh day. And Heavenly Father, we know that we are to look back on your creation and recognize you as the creator of all, the one who loves us and gave his only begotten Son for us. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for it. We ask that you bless these words we speak. And in Jesus' name we ask, amen. My text is in verse 11. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Those are a lot of great characteristics. And we might know that when we read the word, the first few words of verse 11, it says, but flee from these things, you man of God. So that verse also lets us know good things. And as fathers, we can say that God expects us to be men of God and women of God. This is what God expects of us. And this is the Apostle Paul that wrote this particular letter. And he wrote this letter to Timothy, whom he's seen brought up by godly parents, by a godly grandparent. He's seen that the right examples was set in young Timothy's life. And young Timothy became a minister, a minister of God. And therefore, verse 11 says, but flee from these things, you man of God. All of us men, all of us fathers are men of God. We are, in essence, priests of our family. We're to be leaders spiritually within the home, making sure that the things of God are taught to our children and adhered to, taken to heart. God expects this of fathers. But the words in verse 11 says, but flee from these things. That's the things that are not so good, that we need to run away from. We need to teach our sons and daughters, these are things you are not to do. And what are some of these? They come before my scripture reading that I had for you. Flee from these things. And the very first one says, a different doctrine. Words that would be read to you express to you that don't hold to this Word of God that I hold in my hands. A different doctrine. One that is not sound. One that we cannot say. One that we can say did not come from God. So we need to stay away from different doctrines that does not conform to godliness. Also, other things that we are flee from. Pride, thinking too highly of ourselves and who we are and what we can do. God hates pride. God hates a person thinking of himself before others, and certainly before God. Pride, haughtiness, a spirit of contention. We all know what that is. Contention, not getting along, contentious, disputing, striving, suspicions, envying, abusive language. If we're the kind of person that God wants us to be, we won't have abusive, bad language toward our children or spouse. We will have loving things to say, encouraging things to say, certainly to everyone within our family. Suspicions. That's part of what we are to flee from. Envying. Jealousy. Constant friction. Constant arguing. Fighting. And one at the last of this grouping that we are to flee from is too much confidence in money and what money can do, how important it is. And we know that on a scale, that money is down toward the bottom. Money gets us things, but it doesn't get us love. Money doesn't buy us love. Money doesn't buy us that feeling of being and having worth, self-worth. If we put our confidence in money, we put it in the wrong place. If we put it in God, if we put our confidence in the Word of God and what God says that He will do for us, that He will provide for us, that He will keep us, that He will never leave us alone, that He will always be there for us anytime we have need of Him, to call on Him, there is where we need to put our confidence. A love of money is something that we need to flee from, because the results is uncertainty in riches. People think there's certainty in riches. There's a stability in money. But I'm here to tell you, God's Word lets you know, and your life, if you live long enough, you'll come to find out money is much less important than you thought of it when you were young. We are to seek these things. And that was in that verse 11 that I read. We are to seek righteousness. What does that mean? Righteousness. We are to be righteous. Does that sound above your capability? No, it's not above your capability. God would not have told us to be something that was above what we could be. And certainly within the power of God to help you be that. The Holy Spirit that He freely gives you as a gift for you to just accept. I accept salvation through Jesus Christ. I accept that Jesus Christ died so that I could get forgiveness of my sin and now be restored in right standing to God the Father. I accept the gift of salvation. I accept the gift of the Holy Spirit, which will come inside of me and dwell within me and help me and lead me and guide me and comfort me. Your loving Father has all of these gifts for every mother and every father and every son and daughter within this church. Righteousness. Seek these things. Right living. That's what righteousness means. Right living. By whose standards? God's standards. What is righteous living? This Word of God lets you know how to live your life. What's appropriate? What's inappropriate? What's good? What's bad? What's holy? What's unholy? The Word of God explains this to us, and we need to take it to heart. And as fathers, we need to lead our children and teach them the importance of this Word of God, the characteristics that this Bible teaches, that is what makes the difference between a person being satisfied and having a feeling of worth in their life and one that's not that way, one in which they feel totally alienated and like they can't find their place in life. They can't really feel contented, satisfied, joy, happiness. We haven't found our place with God if that is predominant in our life. We need to find God's will, and we need to abide and get and stay in His will. Godliness, godly character. That's what we are to seek for. Righteousness, godliness, faith. Do you have faith? You have to know the Word in order to have faith. You have to hear the Word, believe the Word, know that it came from God, and then accept it, and then apply it to your life. Faith, love, perseverance. You know what love is? Love is not what someone else does for you. It's what you do for someone else. That's what love is. Love is not just affection. Not just that. Love is action. Your action toward others. Godly character. Perseverance. Not giving up. Sticking to what you know is right. Not letting someone persuade you different when you know what is right and what is wrong. And you know that God said that He's your God, that He will protect you and bless and keep you if you will keep His Word. If you'll do what He said, He will be that loving God to you. We have to come to the point in our life where we accept that and we say, yes, God, be my God, be my Father, be my spiritual leader, be the leader of my family, be the leader of me. And I will hold on to your promises. I'll hold on to your hand the rest of my life. Perseverance, not giving up, not turning away from God. Gentleness. How many are gentle this morning? How many are too impulsive, too quick to jump to conclusions, too quick to answer with a harsh reply when we're given one before? If we're gentle, we'll let the Word soak in before we sometimes act too quickly and too harshly. These words within this chapter of Timothy to who he refers to as his son in Christ, he's advising young Timothy, the Apostle Paul is. And he's advising him with all of these things to flee from and then to seek, to find out and then to keep and to do. And he's also saying within these words, to be content. How many are content this morning? How many of us are saying that we went through this last week without having some kind of discontentment in our heart and life? Without thinking thoughts, oh, things could be so much better. This happened, that happened. Why this? Why that? You know, a lot of times we have to examine things that happen, but we look to God for our source of help. We look to Him to help us through life. We need to be content with food and clothing. Those scriptures right there. Verse 8, chapter 6, 1 Timothy. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Is that not saying, don't put your confidence and your faith and trust in all of these other things so much? Look to me. I will help. This is God speaking to you. This is the Father that loves you, and this is His Son, Jesus Christ, that is telling you, put your trust in us. We will provide. We do love you. We do care for you. We need to learn to be rich in good works. We needed to qualify that, didn't we? Don't need to love money, but we need to be rich in good works, generous, not stingy, not just looking out for yourself, but looking out and having a concern for others and helping others do some of the things that they need to do. We need to be rich in good works, generous, ready to share, ready to listen. Are those not good characteristics? And they're all within this Word of God. From the first verse of Genesis to the last verse of Revelation teaches you how to be and how to live. How to be more happy, more content, to find self-worth within your life. There was once a father who had a young son. And the father went to his son and he asked of his son, what does a good father do? This young, real young, 4 or 5 year old son. And his father is asking him, what is a good father? What does a good father do? And this young son spoke these things. A good father helps catch a lightning bug. A good father helps build a fire. A good father lights some candles every now and then when it's dark and perhaps at a mealtime. A good father helps fly a plane. A good father will get wet anytime, any way, anywhere. Do you know this young son told his father what makes a good father, what a good father does? And do you know when we examine this list, we find that none of these things that this young son, and it could have been a young daughter also, none of these things he had to go out and purchase. They didn't involve buying something. What did they involve? They involved time. They involved that father being willing to just be there and do, be with, and share time, and do some activities that you know your son or daughter would love for you to do. We need to take time for our children. That is how we can be better fathers. A father teaches kindness by being thoughtful at home. Are we thoughtful about what we do around our children and what we say to them and how we react to them? A good father teaches kindness by being thoughtful at home. A good father teaches patience by being understanding at home. A good father teaches honesty by keeping his word with his children and with his spouse. A good father teaches justice by being fair to all. A good father teaches love by giving affection with action. Love is giving. An outgoing concern for the other person. Love is not what you get. Love is not what another person does for you and comes to you. Love is what you do to others and for others. If you would, stand with me and pray.